T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Do that right now as we get to our first one. Grant Paulson, 106.7 The Fan in D.C., joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Grant Paulson, a good buddy of mine, who also is very informed and insightful about the Washington Commanders. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good, Abe. How are you, bro?
I'm doing pretty good. How hard did Thanksgiving hit you? Is the tryptophan all out your system, or are you still struggling your way through a college football Saturday?
No, I'm like doubtful for the nightcap tonight. I don't know if I'm going to make it. It's been a tiring, long day. Here's the game changer. You know, if you don't have a couple of kids, you should be able to gut through this. But the kids are relentless. They were up at 7 this morning. You're chasing them around. I just got out of watching Puss in Boots in the movie theater, so I'm just catching up on some college football. So it's been a grind today.
That's the Puss in Boots 2, right, or 3? That's not the original.
It's been 10 years. I know this because they had this big video beforehand, and they said this is like the return. But I was out of the game for the last round. I got a couple young ones. So this was my maiden voyage.
Speaking of out of the game, that's what Chase Young has been for over a year now, Grant Paulson. And he's been activated back to the roster. I know they listed him as questionable, but all the hopes and expectations up there in D.C. is that maybe he gets to see some action here tomorrow. What are you expecting from Chase Young in his return?
Yeah, so I think he will play finally, which is huge, and I think he'll be on a pretty limited snap count. The pitch count, it sounds like, could be as few as 15, maybe as many as low 20s snaps, something like that. I don't think he'll have much of an impact on the game, to be completely honest. I mean, there's certainly a possibility that he makes one or two big plays and, you know, it ends up with a quarterback pressure or TFL on a big running down, you know, and one on third and fourth down or something. I could see him making a splash play like that, but if you go back to last year, he played 10 games before he tore his ACL. He had a sack and a half and a few tackles for loss. It was an ultra disappointing season, and you know he was kind of drawing consternation and in the doghouse at times with coaches just for his performance. So I think it's going to take a little while to get him back up to speed. The bigger storyline on that defense is the guys that have been there dominating: John Allen of Alabama, Deron Payne of Alabama, Montez Sweat, Mississippi State. I mean, you're talking about three premium defenders who have been pretty elite this football season.
Is that Fiona I hear in the background?
Off in the distance. We thought everything was fine, but do say the neighbor Doodle is now going for a walk. So that means Fiona. That's Fiona's time to shine.
Grant Paulson of 106.7 and his dog Fiona joining us on the WadeFort.com hotline. So let's go to the offense real quick. I do want to get back into the run defense in a moment, but I want to switch to the quarterback situation that you have going on there with Washington. What has been the difference for Taylor Heinicke coming in and finding success when it seemed Carson Wentz could not?
Well, the whole team philosophy has changed, and really the execution offensively has gotten a lot better. I do think it has very little to do with Heinicke, frankly, and a lot more to do with kind of the operation. Now, you can give some intangible credit to Heinicke. It just seems like the team responds well to him and his mentality of kind of leaving it all on the field. Who knows if I ever get to start again. Could be my last chance, so I'm going to give you 110%. Like, that does rub off a little bit, but you get rid of some of those, like, cliches, and what you get is a guy who's pretty ineffective as a passer and puts up, you know, very little in terms of offensive production. But here's what's changed is they've been ahead of the sticks. They're able to run pretty consistently for 3.5 yards. They're at 2nd and 7, and they run again. And they're at 3rd and 4 or 3rd and 3. and they're able to move the chains. They've been much better the last few weeks, really up until this past week, on third down. They've stayed on the field. They're the number one team, Abe, in time of possession in all of football. You know, in a lot of ways, it's very similar to Atlanta and what they want to do. It's run first, probably even run second, and then throw third, which is not what they wanted to be. They assembled a really good receiver group. Terry McLaurin's outstanding. They drafted Jahan Dotson from Penn State in the first round. They paid Curtis Samuel the ninth most at the receiver position against the cap of any receiver in the league this year. But with Heinicke, you're just not going to be a throw-first operation or make a whole lot of explosive plays through the air. So it's kind of where they are, man. They got to run it. They got to stay ahead of the sticks. They got to possess the football. They got to take the air out of the game. And they've done that really, really well going back to when they inserted him and basically said, okay, we're lopping the ceiling of this offense off. You know, we're just going to worry more about our floor being elevated, and they're 4-1 in five games with Heinicke and 5-1 in six games overall.
So I want to jump ahead here, Grant, then. Let's take a look at the offseason before we get back into this game specifically tomorrow between the Falcons and the Commanders. So it sounds to me like you don't view Taylor Heinicke as a solution to the quarterback role moving forward. So for Washington, are you in the free agent pool? Are you looking at maybe a Jimmy G type or – at the high end, Lamar Jackson, are you looking at the draft? Are you going to have to bring Wentz back in? What exactly is the mindset moving forward at that position for the Commanders?
So to me, that's the biggest question with this team. Not will they make a run? Are they a tough out in the playoffs? Can they win their first playoff game since 2005? I mean, those are all interesting things, but really what's important is how do they solve quarterback moving forward?
Sounds familiar.
I think it's very possible that they draft a quarterback in the first round. Problem is that they're playing their way out of, the early first round mix and the elite prospects, which is what they've done here for years. And it leads to spinning your tires for 20 years on end as you chase these kind of empty calorie wins when you're not much of a contender. But the fans enjoy it, and I get it. I mean, the whole point is to see your team win. I think they'll probably go the veteran route again as they did this offseason with Wentz. They tried to trade for Garoppolo, according to Adam Schefter. He even said they had a deal in place before some of the injury stuff popped up. And so I think there's a very real possibility if Jimmy G is available, he would be on their board. I don't think Wentz makes sense unless they can get him back on a new contract. He's a $28 million a year quarterback. They can get out of jail free at the end of this season. They didn't extend him for that reason. I would imagine they would do that. And my guess is they would have interest, at half that or around there, to bring him back to compete or to be the starter over Heinicke, who makes less than that. Heinicke's also a free agent. But if I had to put money on a solution right now, well, I think their best case would be to draft a guy. I think they're playing themselves into picking in the 20s, and they'll probably be going back to the well on, a free agent who's been shaking free from organizations. And you know where that is. That's quarterback purgatory, and that's probably where they're going to be again.
Yeah, a lot of things you said, Grant, sound pretty familiar to what's going on here in Atlanta, unfortunately. I don't think Marcus Mariota is the ideal answer for the Falcons either. Let's get back to the offense there. You mentioned Antonio Gibson, Brian Robinson. How has that running back room sorted themselves out? Have they both, obviously Antonio Gibson had a chance early when Robinson was still on the sidelines after the unfortunate incident and the robbery. But now he's kind of worked his way back into it. How are things playing out between those two?
I kind of love what they're doing with those two right now. Robinson is not explosive at all, really, to this point in the year, and doesn't quite look as good as he did in the preseason before he got shot twice, pretty tragically, and, as you said, lost the first month of his season to rehabbing. Having said that, he has been a really consistent physical presence for them. I mean, they just have him stump between the tackles, and he really is an imposing, menacing figure, and it's helped Gibson a lot. Gibson as a lead back was not efficient. He was one of the lowest graded backs in the league according to rushing yards over expected, what's blocked for you, what do you actually get, breaking tackles, those types of things over the last couple of years. Well, now they bring him in after Robinson has been used to kind of soften some things up, and they give him some runs out of the shotgun on outside zone, and they get him out toward the numbers and let him use his speed in the open field. And he's been the most effective this year in a lessened role than he probably has been the last couple of years as a 1,000-yard back last year and a 900-yard back a couple times in his first two seasons. So I kind of like where they're at. They use him better in space in the passing game as well, although that's been something of a quiet part of this offense the last couple of weeks. I think they got to try to reintegrate. You know, we've seen him have 7-catch, 70-yard games this season where they're swinging him the football and he's got some real estate. I think that's how they want to use him, particularly with Heinicke, who just doesn't have much of an arm to go down the field vertically.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Abe TL Show on the Odyssey app as well. We are joined by Grant Paulson, 106.7 The Fan up in D.C. as he breaks down tomorrow's Falcons and Commanders game with us. Now, Grant, we know coming in the Falcons are going to try to run the ball. We also know that the Commanders have not allowed more than 54 yards in quite a while to a single running back, and I think they're like second or third best in the NFL against the run. All of the numbers support this being a really tough go for the Falcons backs. No Kyle Pitts to help them out there. So if you're going to attack the Commanders, if you were the Falcons offensive coordinator and you wanted to attack the Commanders defense, how would you go about it?
Yeah, they're susceptible if you spread them out and you go quick game. You know, I think almost any team with any weapons in the passing game can move the ball on this defense pretty consistently.
How about a team with no weapons in the passing game, Grant?
Well, then you're in big trouble, yeah. And it's why, frankly, I love Washington this weekend. I hate the matchup for the Falcons, you know, which we can get to in a second. But the direct answer to your question is I would empty out the backfield. If you want to move a back out from the slot into the backfield next to Mariota occasionally and hand it off out of the gun that way or run some pistol, I think you could open up the running game some that way. But you're not going to run on this team. You're just not going to. They're very, very good up front. They have been circuit to circuit this season. They played the Texans last week, and you go into that matchup, and you look at that offense who wants to run it with Pierce, and you go, there's no chance. I mean, they're not going to move the ball on this team. And I kind of feel the same way with Atlanta. I mean, the one thing they could do maybe is if they, you know, I know Mariota doesn't run like he once did, but if you hit them once or twice on some things with a quarterback keeper, a naked, maybe read option, like I could see that maybe opening some things up. If you can get some jet action, I don't know how much they use receivers in motion and giving them the ball around the edge. Like that's the one way maybe you can move the ball on the ground. But what they want is to play offenses that are run first and lack weapons on the outside. And they don't throw it very well. And Houston, Atlanta, the next two games they play after the Falcons with a bye in between is the New York Giants. And this is a portion of the schedule that's playing directly into what they're good at. And honestly, when people say, well, how have they turned this around? I think a lot of it is the matchups have been favorable. Like if you designed an offense for this defense to dominate, it would be the Texans. And the Falcons are a better version of that, I think, but it's kind of a similar philosophy.
Yeah, unfortunately, Grant, I tend to agree with you for all the Falcons fans listening. I think this is a dreadful matchup for Atlanta. It's a team that takes away what you do, and they take it away pretty much better than anyone else in the NFL. I think it's a rough go, and certainly not having Kyle Pitts and being the first game without Kyle Pitts as you try and figure out the offense and what it can be in the pass game without him, it's really going to be a tough go. Now, you did mention the Commanders turning the season around, so look, there's you as an analyst and the coaches and the team and all that stuff, and then there's the fan base. Is this a fan base right now that looks at this Commanders team, their record, their upcoming schedule, and says, I think we got a pretty good shot at making it to the playoffs?
Definitely, I think. At this point now, there's nervousness because oftentimes in D.C. with this football team, when you allow yourself to dream, you run down on Christmas morning and there's nothing under the tree. And so I think there's some people that are afraid to swing that leg and think the football might be pulled out from under them as they try to make contact with their foot. But, yeah, I mean, it's all right there for them. I mean, you can see it, right? They've won 5 out of 6. As I mentioned, the Atlanta matchup, 4-point favorites at home, favorable. The Giants you're catching at the right time. I covered Mike Shanahan for 4 years on the beat, and he had a great axiom that I love, which is it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And I think they're playing the Giants at a time where they'll at least, at worst, split, maybe even take both. So, yeah, the seas are parting for this team right now, you know, if they can deal with some prosperity. The one thing I'll say, big picture, to answer this question, but it ties into what you were just saying about the bad matchup, is Washington isn't really built to blow anybody out. Like, their whole style of play, everything they do, is going to keep both teams in the game. It's Falcons-like in that way. You guys can relate to that. Like, you're not going to just be up 31-13. Last week, the Texans played as bad a game as anybody's played against Washington in a couple of years. And in the second half, it kind of became a contest. And it wasn't all that close. But I think that's the kind of game normally that should have been like 40-10, and they just don't have that club in the bag. So what you get is an opportunity. If Heinicke turns the ball over, you know, if you pressure him into a bad decision or two, he'll normally throw a pick a week. If you can make that two, if you get a sack fumble, if you punch a ball out at some point from a receiver and after a first down, like that's all of a sudden how you can mess around in the fourth quarter and have the football down four or something if you're the Falcons.
Real quick, Grant, I got about 20 seconds left. Who is the team to beat in your eyes in the NFC? Is it Cowboys, Eagles, Vikings, or someone else?
San Francisco. I think the 49ers are going to get on a roll.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Yeah, 6-4, and they're getting hot, and I think they're going to be really good down
there.
Grant,
I've been saying that for weeks, even before the McCaffrey trade. I've been saying it. If they ever get healthy on that D-line, that's the team to beat. They make that trade. The offense takes off. They look like world beaters. So I am with you on that. Grant, appreciate your time this afternoon, this evening, and enjoy the game tomorrow.
You got it, Abe. Good talking to you, bro.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.